Off the Ball.
Find us on Twitter at Off the Ball.
News Talk 106 to 108.
Yes, good evening to you all. It is Wednesday night's Off the Ball. Dave McIntyre in the hot seat in place of Joel this evening. He's got other things on his mind this week. We won't go into the detail, but it's a pretty important week in Joe's life. A lot to come up on the show this evening. It's still very much focused on Jose Mourinho to some extent. We are going to be speaking to Jan-Arge Fjortov. Swindon Town fans in particular will remember him with fond memories. Former Norwegian international striker who now works in the Norwegian football media. He'll talk to us about Ole Gunnar Solskjaer. We're going to get the view from London as well, because there was an interesting piece in the Times in London written today on Mauricio Pochettino and the fact that he desires the Manchester United job and what United may have to do to prise him away from the clutches of Daniel Levy at White Hart Lane. There is Wednesday night rugby as well. It is Keith Wood and Andrew Dunn that are in with us this evening. So do get all of your comments into us. We're across all of our social channels, YouTube. We are on Twitter. You can text us on 53106 for 30 cents. And of course, we are on facebook.com/offtheball as well. Kieran Cunningham, Chief Sports Writer with the Irish Daily Stars, with us.
I am.
Good evening,
how are
sir.
You? I'm good.
I don't think we've done this particular specific gig before.
Oh, we have once or twice, but a while ago.
You just me in this seat and you in that seat.
Wednesday
evening.
Yeah, okay. Your neck was at you, so you probably you were up to the gills.
Well,
and painkillers, so you don't remember it.
I spent so much time complaining, I clearly couldn't remember anything else that happened that night. And Will, good evening, sir.
Evening, Dev.
Huge managerial appointment today. That's stolen all the headlines.
Yeah.
Jim Gavin is he's extended his stay with the Metropolitan till 2021.
Is he any good? That's funny because
a lot of people throughout
the same line on Twitter. They'll get the seven in a row, but. Don't rule it out. Seriously, don't rule it out. Like, only for that stumble against Donegal, they would probably have done six in a row.
Yeah.
They'd be going for seven in a row next year, because they're just, like, they were better this year than they've been any other year.
The six that they've won since 2011, it was the handiest.
Yeah, the highest degree of comfort. Yeah. They're definitely, like, you do look at Kerry and what they've done at underage, you think they have a chance, but... You know, Donegal, while Murphy is still around, might hope to get 1 year to have a team, but that's a short window of how many more years will they get out of Murphy? Three, four, whatever.
Yeah.
Out of that, Tyrone just seemed lacking. Mayo, it's the same guys again as James Horan go back. Can Mayo get something else? And after that, I can't see where the challenge is coming from. So.
Shane in the control room there has just thrown Monaghan out, but look, God love him.
It's funny, I think I'd love to have seen them get the final and see what they would have come up with. You know, I really would.
Monaghan won't be winning in All-Ireland anytime soon, though. Let's not beat around the bush on that one. On the whole, they would have been winning a six in a row only for the Donegal. Do I have a different take on that in that, now we're not going to get deeply into the Dublin.
Now you're going to say Donegal forced them to change their way of playing. And
they would never have learned those lessons, David.
Don't totally buy into that.
Someone would have done something similar to them at some stage. Had those lessons that they learned in that second half in particular not being learned?
Yeah.
Is it not at least a viable
argument? It's an argument, definitely. Yeah, there's something to it.
It's an argument. It's wrong, but it's an argument.
I think they're just such a clever bunch, both in terms of the playing personnel and the management team, that they would have realised...
this might happen.
Yeah, they would have copped on. Like, even in a league game, it might have come against them and thought, no, we have to have a bit more security there. And I don't think they've changed that radically, to be honest. I know Cian O'Sullivan's given a different role, screening role, but I don't think they're a million miles away from where they were. Like, they do play a more patient possession game, but I don't think that was a reaction to Donegal. That's more a reaction to the way
teams started setting up against them,
you know. And there were a couple of personnel changes as well that are significant. Like, if you do look... There were a couple of guys that played there that day. I don't think they've played since. You know the.
Yeah. I'm sure if we'd have to go through the team.
Yeah,
I can't think of them off the top of my head.
Me. No,
but obviously,
what's been so remarkable though is the fact that they've been able to just recycle the team around to such an extent that you don't miss a big player going.
Because there's a new guy every year.
Yeah.
There's a Costello, a Fenton, a Merchant.
Yeah.
Con O'Callaghan.
Brian Howard.
This year was Brian Howard. Yeah. Like, none of those five were anywhere near the team 4 years ago. So,
no. And that's all you need. Like, you need one or two every year is enough, because the level of conditioning they're at, you know, even though a lot of them have six All-Irelands, they've been around a while, they're not particularly old and they look after themselves so well. They can all go well into their mid-30s. Like, I met Michael Darragh 2 weeks ago and really interesting guy, Michael Darragh. But one of the things
very
you say to
fella.
Yeah, but I was just generally, like, he's going to be 33 by the time of the All-Ireland final next year. And everybody, you know, is just asking this, you know, like, he's one, going to be one of the oldest players in the country. But he said, it's funny, he said, whenever you meet an athlete over 30, they all want to tell you how fit they are, that they've never felt stronger, that they've never felt better. That they just, it's in their own head as well. You know, everybody's starting to doubt you now. So because of that, I think you prepare better and are smarter. And I think, you know, there is this thing of players are retiring younger. I don't see many Dublin players retiring the last 10 years. Very few since the breakthrough.
Like, the only guy that really lost who left voluntarily is Rory O'Carroll. I can't think of a single other guy.
Oh, like a few others, like Ger Brennan, Dennis Bastic, a couple came to the end, but their number, nobody wants to leave that setup. Why would you? Alan Brogan.
Well, no one's going to leave before the five in a row anyway.
The thing is,
every time an Owen Merchant or a Brian Howard comes into the team, you've got a 30-something that's furious, that has to spend the vast majority of his time during the summer sitting on the bench, and he's going to prove a point, and he's going to show Jim Gavin why he's been written off way too early, and he's going to come off the bench and kick 3 or 4 points and play in the last 20 minutes.
But there's a few significant things about this. Like, I was like, by the time this, he's extended now till 2021. Okay.
Yeah. So three more championships.
Yeah, he'll be the longest serving Dublin manager, longer than Kevin Heffernan. And Kevin Heffernan was in two spells because Kevin took a year out when Tony Hannah was player manager. So he'll have gone past that. He'll also turn 50 that year, which is a significant landmark in his life. I wonder, did he look at that? But knowing Jim, what I do know of Jim, I doubt it. And I'm sure in 2 years' time, another extension will be announced before 2021. I don't think he's going anywhere. Like, why would he? If his health is good, if his family life is good, if his work suits it, he's enjoying it, he gets a buzz out of it. It means more to him than football.
I want to see Jim Gavin managing Laois. Or somebody of their ilk. Let's see how good a manager Jim Gavin is. We have our Messiah. Mickey Graham is the man. Winning an All-Ireland with Cavan is an easier task than winning a Leinster club title with Mullinocte. I've put that out there. There's no reason why Sam can't return to Cavan after what he's achieved.
I jest.
Martin Clonsilla has got in touch to say Cluxton's retirement will be a key. Well, maybe Cluxton will still be there in 2021 when Jim Gavin is.
Yeah, no, that's the one everyone throws at because he's the player that they find very hard to replace, and they will. But the one thing I would say is by the time he goes, Evan Comerford will have been in the squad 3, 4, maybe 5 years, training with Cluxton and training in the way they want to play. And he is highly rated and he's played a few games this year already. I don't think it'll be that as difficult as many think.
I would say if Evan Comerford is sitting at home listening to this, he is not happy camper with the thoughts of sitting on the bench for the next 3 championship seasons.
Well,
while Stephen Cluxton
has seen off a lot of number twos, and
he certainly has. Galway have a conveyor belt of players coming through. Somebody has just said, I would expect 4 or 5 new faces in the team. Huge potential. Dublin obviously well ahead, but I think Galway have potential to challenge if managed right. Yeah, we shall see if they take another step forward after the progress they've made over the last couple of years under Kevin Walsh. And we started at the top with a mention of Mauricio Pochettino and the fact that we're being told by one English journalist who we will be talking to in the football show that he would actually like to be the next Manchester United manager. Any chance you give Spurs fans a break here and explain why he would be stupid to leave Spurs and take a poison chalice like United? I can see why a Tottenham fan would be feeling that way.
Yeah.
And yes, he's clearly a very successful manager at White Hart Lane. He's got the trust of the board, of the chairman. He's largely in control of the ins and outs. The only problem is there are no ins and outs. There won't be next month. There are unlikely to be many, if any, in June.
Yeah.
And I think that is the framework within which we will be having this discussion.
To make the argument for a Spurs fan on that though, Dave, is he's had the year of austerity now where he had to sit through a window with no signings. He's had a team that he's moulded for the best part into the team that they are now. Would he really want to parachute off just before they get the new stadium and the possibility to spend again in the future?
That's a fair point.
It could be a poor timing move for Pochettino.
The other thing is, you do see how... I've seen managers in a situation where Pochettino is now, where they're really highly rated and people think they're going to kick on the next level. Like, you think of Juan de Ramos, right? He was manager of the year in Spain. I think he'd won back-to-back... UEFA Cups that year and won the Copa del Rey, went to Tottenham, and he was, I think, 6th highest paid manager of the Premier League at the time. And he only lasted a very brief time, a few months, wasn't it? And
then, as Harry Redknapp always tells us, they had 2 points when Harry took charge.
He did a couple of jobs where it hasn't happened for him, and he's out of work at the moment. You look at Villas-Boas, like, who's been described as a new Mourinho. who won a clean sweep, four trophies one season with Porto, including either UEFA Cup or Europa League, whatever it was at the time.
Here in Dublin, actually.
Yeah, here in Dublin. And then he was out of Chelsea after 6-7 months. He was out. He lasted Tottenham 18 months. He ended up, did he end up in China?
China briefly,
He ended up in China. And the last we heard of him was crashing in the Paris-Dakar rally, picking up rally driving. And he's only 41.
I know, but it's the difference with Pochettino was that he left Southampton of his own accord.
He did.
Very rare manager gets to leave a club when he decides.
Yeah.
He wouldn't, if this transpired, he would be leaving Tottenham of his own accord.
But
and he would have proven that he can put a team together in the Champions League to really compete, which is not something that Villas-Boas had done.
Yeah, but the demands are so different at Tottenham and United.
That is the question.
That's obviously stating the obvious. Because
can you handle the step up?
Yeah, if he stays at United for the next 5 years and qualifies for the Champions League every year and doesn't win a trophy, he will be seen as a success. If he's 5 years at United, he's expected
to Tottenham and do those things.
If he does that at United, he has to qualify for the Champions League every year. He has to win the league at least once in those 5 years, and they probably expect another trophy or two, and he's to be competitive in the Champions League. The pressure is just, there's no comparison to the pressure that he'll be
That's
under.
Not a reason for him to stay, though, at Tottenham.
No, not a reason for him to stay.
The pressure and the expectations.
No, but this thing that he's been anointed. To me, Diego Simeone would be the best bet, but I'm not sure.
United fans wouldn't take to his football either, I don't think. I think they're bored, are going to get worried.
Yeah, but I think he's won La Liga. He's got teams to Champions League final against the odds when you're up against Barcelona and Real Madrid. I think his personality and his aggression and the aggressive pressing play, and I don't know, maybe they wouldn't take to it, but there's a language barrier as well. I'm not sure if he speaks English.
He's an outstanding manager, but I don't think United fans would put up with the way that Simeone set up against Barcelona a few weeks ago in La Liga, just purely to try and stifle the game. I think United fans have had to watch that with Mourinho in the last year or so.
And Van Gaal.
Yeah.
They need a change, I think, but Tottenham fans definitely do not need a change. But that piece is in the football show later, so you'll hear why and what the thoughts are of the press corps within that circle in London that follow Tottenham on a week-to-week basis, why they think Pochettino may want to leave, and it may just be down whether Manchester United can strike a deal with Daniel Levy and the Tottenham board. A lot else to get through. Where do you want to start? I assume it's Jose, Will.
Yeah, Jose's been speaking for the first time, Dave, since being sacked as Manchester United manager, insisting he still has a future in football. Mourinho added he's immensely proud to have been in charge of United. He spoke to Sky Sports' Gary Cotterill outside his London home this afternoon.
I don't change, and what I did when I left Chelsea, for example, is the same that I'm going to do now. I keep the good things, and I don't speak about anything that happened in the club. We could speak about so many good things. We could speak about not as good, but that's not me. You know, it's finished, and Manchester United has a future, and without me, and I have a future without Manchester United.
I wonder, did Jose sleep a little better last night in his final night in the Lowry Hotel?
Yeah.
Because all the pressure has dissipated. He gets to go back to his family in London. I wonder, does he feel a little less miserable today, look a little less beleaguered?
Yeah, I think that's, you're onto something there, because I think people, you know, we all have a go at managers, and we all, you know, laugh at some of the stuff Mourinho was coming out of press conferences, etc. But he's still a human being. He's made it, he's, you know, flesh and blood, bone and sinew like the rest of us. He has a family that he was living miles away from. I was reading today, he made a virtue of, he travelled by train regularly to London to see his family, but he made a virtue of never missing training. So that meant a lot of either late night trains or very early morning trains. His father passed away the last couple of years. He has to deal with all the personal pressures that we all have to deal with in life. And also, I think some people forget about Mourinho. The amount of times he's moved countries and to massive jobs, and he's only had very short breaks in between. To me, he looks like a classic case of burnout. Mm-hmm. He needs an extended break. I think he will get offers next. I wouldn't be surprised if he's offered the Bayern Munich job next summer, for example, because I think I could see Liverpool beating them, and I could see them not winning the Bundesliga. So there could be a change there. But I think it'd be better waiting another year. Do what Guardiola did, you know, when Guardiola went off to New York for a year. Because he looks soured by it all. The old spark has gone from him.
Yeah, no, it is difficult to have sympathy for him on a human level because he has been so confrontational and he's been so past remarkable and he has been so pig-headed in an awful lot of what he has said over the last 6 to 18 months, but or 6 to 12 months. But yeah, like he is still a guy who's been sacked, albeit he's going to be paid handsomely for being relieved of his duties long before his contract expired. But look, maybe Jose Mourinho will find a little bit of Jose time over the next few months. And as you say, come back bigger, fitter, stronger, and his head in the right place for whatever the next job might happen to be.
Well, Ole Gunnar Solskjaer is the caretaker manager until the end of the season at Old Trafford. The 1999 Champions League final match winner will be assisted by Mike Phelan, along with Michael Carrick and Kieran McKenna. Mike Phelan, you might remember, was jettisoned by David Moyes when he came in 2013. Solskjaer takes over a side who are sitting sixth in the Premier League. They are 11 points outside the Champions League places and 19 points behind the leaders, Liverpool. Ex-United defender Henning Berg thinks his former teammate can bring the squad back together.
I think he's got the experience. I think he's got people with him, with Mike Phelan, with Michael Carrick there as well, who will help him, who's got the experience as well. But Ole Gunnar is a clever man. Don't be fooled by his young face. He's got steel in his eyes as well, and I'm sure he will be able to handle the players in his way, which will be different, the way that Mourinho works. And Mourinho has been fantastically successful over the years with the best one. But it did not work well at this time with United at this time, and a different approach with Solskjaer's mentality, with his way of doing things, might get a lot of energy, might get players playing together again for the club and to their best level. And if you can get these players to play to their best levels, you will win many matches. It's not going to be easy. Premier League is a tough competition, but there is a big chance for them to improve.
Henning Berg there speaking earlier today. Another former United defender, Jaap Stam, has also been speaking, and so much like you, Dave, he thinks there's only one man for the job on a permanent basis next summer.
Pochettino is the best choice because he's got a lot of experience in working in the UK, Southampton, Tottenham Hotspur, building it. He's good in building a team, plays attractive football and attacking football, playing good football as well, playing out from the back, which what I like, and going forward to eventually score goals and win games as well. So I would have said, yeah, that's my choice in becoming the next manager at United. You know, there's been a discussion at Tottenham as well in like, okay, not spending money for players. I think Pochettino is, I don't know him, but from what I see from the outside, he is the type of manager that wants to invest, that wants to improve in his team every year. At United, he gets the opportunity to do that. He gets. They've got the money to do that. For him, that I think that would be the ultimate step to go there and build a team over there.
Trevor has been in touch on YouTube. Not sure why the high regard for Poch. I can make a better argument for Blanc or Brendan Rodgers. Both have better records with titles. Plus, neither has Real Madrid hanging over their heads. For a start, you can rule Rodgers out straight away because there's absolutely no way, for whatever other reason, that Manchester United are going to hire a former Liverpool manager to be their next manager in charge.
No.
On the Laurent Blanc one, like he hasn't had a job in 2.5 years. I would question why is that the case.
Yeah.
Yes, he won an unbelievable Ligue 1 title with Bordeaux when no one expected it of him 8 years ago. But what he did with PSG was just expected.
Yeah.
And managers that have followed him since have just gone on and steamrolled their way to a league.
Yeah, and you mentioned Mourinho being past remarkable. Like Blanc has come out with a bit of some stuff over the years, like 2 women reporters and about black players. That's
I'd be surprised.
It would be hard to defend, I think, to be honest.
And you know, people, some Manchester United fans saying they want the next manager to have a link to the club. I mean, his link is tenuous enough.
Yeah,
like he arrived at the club way past.
But I think that's a big mistake as well. Like that's gone back. That was a Liverpool disease for years and years, that they're obsessed with the past, and you had to go on about this mythical boot room and somebody that had a connection to it. And like even now with Solskjaer, and like Mike Phelan is coming in there, and people are saying it was a big mistake David Moyes getting rid of Mike Phelan. Maybe it was, maybe it wasn't. But the problems at United are ultimately rooted in the ownership change when the Glazers came in, and them bringing their banker Ed Woodward into the mix. And a lot of that is rooted in Ferguson losing the plot over the Rock of Gibraltar thing with JP McManus and John Magnier, that picked a fight he didn't need to pick over a very questionable claim in a racehorse. And I think that's when United started losing idea of what makes United great. You know, they've got distracted.
It became noodle really sponsors, not players.
Yeah, it became too much about business and money and everything else. And it just, even though they won trophies after that and won a Champions League over that, I think United were slagged in the last few years of Ferguson. And partly they won the last couple of titles through the aura. Like, people were still spooked because it was Ferguson's United. But if you looked at the personnel on the pitch for a lot of those games, you're going, like, there were a lot of pretty ordinary players in the team.
Yeah, and they proved to be quite ordinary once David Moyes took over. We spent an awful lot of the last 2 days talking about stuff that has no relation to football actually taking place on the field. Mm. There's a pretty interesting game that we can actually watch tonight.
Yeah, particularly with the teams that have been picked as well. Arsenal and Tottenham both naming very strong teams for their North London derby. Quarterfinals of the English League Cup at the Emirates this evening. Mkhitaryan, Iwobi, Aubameyang among the starters for Arsenal. Dele Alli and Eriksen both starting for Spurs. Son up front in that one as well. Olivier Giroud has been picked for Chelsea for their last day clash with Bournemouth at Stamford Bridge. The teams awaiting in the last four are Man City, the holders, who came through after an atrocious penalty shootout against Leicester last night, and Burton Albion, who shocked Middlesbrough. They're the teams who wait in the draw for the last four. In the Scottish Premiership, Rangers will look to hold on to their position at the top of the table when they go to Hibs. If they slip up, champion Celtic can overtake them by beating Motherwell at Parkhead. Real Madrid are into the Club World Cup final. Gareth Bale scored a hat-trick in a 3-1 win against Kashima Antlers in Abu Dhabi earlier. Madrid will play Al Ain in Saturday's decider. Al Ain were the shock winners against River Plate again on penalties yesterday. Dundalk will begin the defence of their SSE or Tristy League Premier Division title against Sligo Rovers on Friday, February the 15th. Last year's First Division winners UCD opened their campaign away to Derry City. Having come through the promotion playoffs, Finn Harps begin with a trip to Bowes. Shamrock Rovers will go to Waterford on the first night of the new season, with last year's runners-up Cork City away to St Pat's. The First Division will get underway a week later on February the 22nd. Jim Gavin will remain in charge of the Dublin senior football team until the end of the 2021 season. Gavin's overseen 5 All-Ireland title wins in the last 6 years, with Dublin also landing 5 National League, 6 Leinsters since he took over in late 2012. Dublin chairman Sean Shanley has welcomed the news of the Round Towers man's latest extension, his 4th in all, praising his hard work and dedication. Daniel O'Reilly, meanwhile, will start for Leash's footballers tomorrow, 8 months after being left fighting for his life. The Greg Cullen clubman suffered bleeds to his brain following an unprovoked attack in Carlow and spent a week in intensive care back in April. O'Reilly will play at wing forward for the Amours in their O'Byrne Cup match away to Wexford.
Where are these games being played? Has anyone actually explained that?
Do you really want to get into that?
Not really, no.
We're here till 10.
But I did see a great tweet from Eamon McGee the other day. Like, who are these? You know, you have to really admire the GA fans that go to those games. Like, what's it?
It's the hardcore of the hardcore.
Yeah, but I can understand more the ones that go to McKenna Cup or O'Byrne Cup in January, because after spending Christmas cooped up with their family for 2 weeks, they're just dying to get out. I don't care if it's 10 below and ask Keaton or somewhere I'm going to go there.
Yeah, games lost last weekend, which again, I think pushes just a couple of days after Christmas. Some teams are out on the 28th and 29th, which seems crazy.
Some people just want to watch inter-county football.
This is it. Your next story is significant because I've seen this kid and he's something else.
Yeah, Peter Canavan's son Dara is on the Tyrone bench for their McKenna Cup game against Derry tomorrow evening. Kyle Coney as well starts for the Red Hand for the first time in 3 years.
That's a very interesting call as well. Like, yeah, Kyle Coney was a huge, huge talent, and he did not see eye to eye with Mickey Hart. Mm. So it's interesting that Mickey Hart is kind of thinking, I might need this guy.
Did he do a very interesting piece at some stage over the course of the year where he kind of talked about how he fell down the pecking order and maybe hadn't lived up to his potential?
Yeah, I can't remember who wrote it.
Like, maybe
it
took the wrong turn here and there and he's getting another chance. Which is
anybody does a quick Google search, they'll find it was a good interview. I can't remember who wrote it now, but I've seen Derek Hanavan play live, and I've seen a couple of video clips on him, and he's very young, but he's going to be sensational.
Is he cut from a similar cloth to his father?
Absolutely, absolutely.
So he's an inside forward.
Well, at least play anywhere in the forward line. But these days, that means you could end up at wing back. Well, to be honest, like you would say, Ryan McHugh is a natural forward, but he plays wing back. That's the kind of way the game's gone.
Peter Canavan wouldn't even make the Tyrone team if he started out.
But he's so elusive, and he has that hardiness that Peter had. Like Peter in the 90s was getting serious punishment in the north, as you can imagine, and on the killing fields, Ulster football. But Dara has that hardiness as well.
Sticking with Ulster, and Fermanagh's Brendan Dolan hit a 170 checkout as he thrashed Joe Cullen 3-0 for the loss of just one leg to cause a massive second round upset at the PDC World Darts Championship. Dolan is now into the last 32 of the competition in his 12th season in a row to play at the PDC Worlds. Limerick's William O'Connor getting underway in the next few minutes in the second round against James Wilson. It's been a pretty decent start for the Irish. Also, you've
William O'Connor steps off the hockey tonight, we will bring you that result. We will put a stop to this show if it means bring you that result as soon as we have it.
Munster, meanwhile, will install temporary seating at Thomond Park for the potential Heineken Champions Cup Pool 2 decider against Exeter on January the 19th. It'll bring the capacity of the Limerick venue up to just over 26,000. 21,000 tickets, the province say, have already been sold for the game. Former Wales captain Stephen Jones and Jonathan Humphreys have been appointed assistant coaches as part of the incoming Welsh team with Wayne Pivac. Both will start after the 29 World Cup in Japan when Pivac takes over from Warren Gatland. And finally, Faheen is set to run in the Squared Financial Christmas Hurdle at Leopardstown over 3 miles next week. Trainer Willie Mullins has confirmed that news for the 10-year-old today. It's after he disappointed a little bit in finishing second to his stablemate Sharjah in the Morgiana hurdle last month.
Lovely stuff, Will. Thanks a million for that. Lots of people getting in touch on 53106 for 30 cents, are also getting in touch with us via facebook.com/offtheball, YouTube and Twitter as well. An anonymous texter, tongue planted firmly in his cheek. Could Man U not have made David Moyes our caretaker manager? There's still 6 months left in his contract.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah, now he has worked for a considerable amount of time for three different clubs since he left Old Trafford. So I think that has an effect on how much compensation he actually gets paid if he's in the employ of another club in the meantime. Byron would never take Jose, says Peter on YouTube. They have a very strong board and they've no time for him. He seems to have very close ties to the Bayern Munich board here, Peter. Jose will go back to Inter, Poch will go to Real, and Zizou will end up at United. And that won't end well either. Real will go all out to get Poch now that United are sniffing around, and they will pay 60 or 70 million for him too. I'm not quite sure Jose will have a job to go back to at Inter because Luciano Spalletti is doing an excellent job there at the moment, so there may not be a job there. Pochettino to Real is certainly not beyond the realms of possibility. That is a real
one day
possibility.
Would be if Gareth Bale was offered back to Spurs as part of this.
Oh yeah,
say it was Pochettino and Kane switch, maybe.
Yeah. Well, another one that's been thrown out there is Mourinho being in charge of Qatar at the World Cup.
Yeah, we've heard that as well.
Because there would be serious money thrown at him, I would think.
You could say that again. Kieran says, United like to portray themselves as classy, especially if you listen to Gary Neville, but this mouthing off in public about the next manager being Poch makes them look grabby. They are no better than anyone else in terms of how they conducted themselves since Ferguson left, easily shows this. Have United uttered a single word about Mauricio Pochettino?
I don't think so.
I don't think so, no. It's
out there. Some of their ex-players are doing it.
Yeah, but they've been asked and they're being paid for their opinion.
The one thing about United, they've been leaking all over the place for a long time. Like team lineups were being leaked on Twitter a day before games, week after week after week.
Mourinho was trying to
get
to the
bottom of that,
wasn't
he? Which is a really bad sign when all that kind of stuff was going on.
Look, the United portrayed themselves as being classy because they don't sack managers.
Yeah.
The only reason they didn't sack their manager is because he was winning the league.
Yeah.
Three out of every four seasons, deliver two European Cups. And if you go back to the very beginning of Ferguson's tenure and back to that Mark Robbins moment and that game where they won lost, he might have lost the job. That was because football was a very different era back then.
Like of course.
You're chalk and cheese. You can't compare the two. If you're telling me that Alex Ferguson, if he suffered the same fate over the first 4 years of his United tenure now, starting today, that he would get the chance to stick around for as long as he did, absolutely no chance.
No
top
chance,
four
no.
didn't qualify for the Champions League back then for a start. So there wasn't a failure in finishing second or third or fourth or anywhere else other than
the first. And it took 7 years to win the league. You know, 4 years to win a trophy, it took him 7 years to win the league.
Ferguson just wouldn't get that time again.
I don't
agree with that comparison at all. The reason they've sacked the managers is because they made the wrong appointments and the guys they brought in had just not been up to the job. It's not because of a lack of class or them having class. It's just the appointments they've made. They just have not worked. Finally on this one, Willie Gannon on YouTube, the problem with taking the United job now is that even if the next manager turns it around, recruits a great team, turns results around, etc., all Man City have to do is spend another 500 million to overtake them. It's going to take an awful lot to overtake Man City, but anyone who saw the dross in Valencia last week, that saw them at Anfield, that has seen them against Palace, against Newcastle, against Brighton, against West Ham, against Sevilla in the Champions League last season.
It's Derby County.
I mean, it doesn't take an awful lot to improve that.
Yeah.
So we shall see. Kieran, thanks a million.
No problem.
Will, brilliant stuff as always. Thanks so much for that. Coming up, we're going to be speaking to Norwegian footballing legend Jan Arge Fjortoft about the interim appointment of this guy.
Cleared, Geeks with a shot. Jerry M! Name on the trophy. Two mishits, really. Giggs is a right-footed mishit. Sheringham's isn't the cleanest, but it's gone in the right place. And the first look is towards the linesman to say, am I offside?
Is this their moment? Beckham. Into Sheringham. And Solskjaer has won it! Manchester United have reached the promised land. Ole Solskjaer, the two substitutes, have scored the two goals in stoppage time. History is made. Manchester United are the champions of Europe again, and nobody will ever win a European Cup final more dramatically than this. Champions of Europe, champions of England, winners of the FA Cup, everything their hearts desired, Manchester United are the champions of Europe again.